Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 89 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
Because of the depth of that pipe, it's going to be difficult to dig down through it, so we're going to have to close the road.
U.S. 60 will be closed tonight in Salt Lick for a construction project.
The city of Grayson is preparing for an industry boom.
A suicide prevention walk is happening this weekend at Carter Cave State Resort Park.
Vendor spots are still open for next week's Arts and Eats Festival in Moorhead.
An Ashland man pled guilty to attempted murder.
In sports, the Reds wrap up their series in Pittsburgh tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 70 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
As part of the U.S. 60 reconstruction, contractors are closing U.S. 60 just outside of Salt Lick this evening. The work is part of a Kentucky Transportation Cabinet project that will shift the Kentucky 211 intersection of U.S. 60 several hundred feet eastward. KYTC Information Officer Alan Blair says they have to restructure that stretch of road.
We have to put a new drainage pipe underneath U.S. 60. Because of the depth of that pipe, it's going to be difficult to dig down through it, so we're going to have to close the road overnight briefly to get some of that work done and then put back the material and let traffic flow again in the morning.
Blair says if the construction goes as planned, the closure should not extend beyond 5 tomorrow morning.
Construction on Moorhead State University's Student Center is wrapping up. The renovation and expansion of the Adrian Doran University Center has been ongoing for 2 years. MSU's Assistant Vice President for Facilities and Operations, Kim Oatman, says the updated facility will be a great addition to campus.
They're working a lot of stuff on the site right now, and it's going to really develop in the next 4 weeks. Really, in the next 4 weeks, there's going to be a whole lot of things coming together. It was really a good design. I mean, the design of kind of the addition, renovating and the addition, there's really a lot of nice features to it.
Oatman says the $49 million project should be ready for an official grand opening during MSU's homecoming weekend. A ribbon cutting is tentatively scheduled for October 19th.
Grayson's mayor says his city has been putting in work to create a place people coming to the area will want to call home. The new Brady Industries aluminum plant is set to open in 2020, creating hundreds of jobs in the process. And Mayor George Steele says some of those people will need a place to live. He thinks Grayson is the perfect place for them to put down roots.
Right now, we're just blacktopping streets and concreting sidewalks and just doing infrastructure work right now to get things up to par for Brady Industries when they come. We want to be competitive for people looking for a place to live, and that's what we've been doing for the last 12 years to try and make this place a competitive place, and the time of moment's here, and we're anxious to see what's going to happen out of it.
Brady is slated to bring 600 jobs to the surrounding area upon its launch. The new plant will be located on the industrial parkway that spans Carter, Greenup, and Boyd counties.
A suicide prevention and awareness walk will be hosted in Carter County this weekend in honor of Suicide Prevention Month. The walk will begin Sunday at 3 p.m. at Carter Cave State Resort Park in Olive Hill. The event will focus on those suffering through personal problems or wanting to support others going through hard times. Melinda Moore is a professor at Eastern Kentucky University. She says members of the community can be a big help to those in need just by showing their support at the walk and by participating in the National Weekend of Prayer.
It also recognizes the really perfect position that faith communities are in to be a resource for those individuals who are struggling in their communities. This event will also honor the National Weekend of Prayer, and there will be events that occur within the walk that will honor that as well, and will allow individuals to participate in the National Weekend of Prayer, also at the local level at Carter County.
Moore says these walks give people opportunities to show that they care and to spread awareness about the importance of suicide prevention. Moore says a lot of people avoid talking about suicide when that can be the biggest antidote to the problem.
Vendor spots are still available for this year's Arts and Eats Festival in downtown Moorhead. The annual event is a fundraiser for several area nonprofit organizations and will be held September 15th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Arts Center Director Ashley Gillum says this year's festival will feature more than 30 food vendors and 45 arts and craft booths.
Definitely going to have plenty to see. As far as food goes, you're going to have your traditional things like hot dogs and pizza and soups and chilies and things like that. And then you'll have, you know, interesting things like fried bologna sandwich. And I know Morehead State Public Radio is going to do their Spam sandwiches, which is always a big hit.
To register as a vendor for the Arts and Eats Festival, you can contact Gillum at 783-9857.
An organization that offers a nurturing, supportive environment for child victims of sexual and physical abuse, as well as human trafficking, is moving towards its capital campaign goal. The Gateway Children's Advocacy Center hosted a successful phone-a-thon last week. Board member Shayla Ring says the organization hopes to raise $25,000 for new windows and doors in their Morehead facility.
It got off to kind of a slow start. We sent out mailers and contacted individuals. We are hoping that the five counties that the Gateway Children's Advocacy Center serve will all become involved. We are reaching out to local government agencies and general businesses within all of those communities.
To donate, visit the organization's website at gatewaycac.com/donate.
Johnson Central High School hosts monthly club days so students can get to know one another and make school a little more relaxed. WYMT reports the school offers a variety of clubs, including the new Multicultural Club. The goal of the club is to introduce students to cultures outside of Eastern Kentucky. Student Megan Ratliff is a club member.
I'm so excited to learn, like, where my family's from and, like, where I came from. And I think that will help me out in the real world, you know, and I can connect with other people, like, when I go to college, be like, oh, your family's from here, too, and, you know, I think that'll be something cool to have, a cool asset.
The club is planning a variety of activities, including preparing various ethnic foods and trips to culturally diverse areas.
A University of Kentucky professor has been awarded the Appalachian Poetry Book of the Year. Jane Gentry was honored for her book, The New and Collected Poems of Jane Gentry. The book consists of poems that were never published prior to her death in 2014. Gentry's fellow professor of English at UK, Julia Johnson, says it is fitting that Gentry won the award.
I think that this award would have just brought Jane incredible joy because she is a poet so deeply rooted in Appalachia. And also her poems are set in Kentucky. And so I think that it's really an honor for the book to win the award, but it also just feels perfect.
Gentry, also known as Jane Vance, held the title of Kentucky Poet Laureate from 2007 to 2008.
We'll have more of your region's headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The search continues today for a missing man in Carter County. Authorities have no solid leads on the whereabouts of 62-year-old Richard Lee, who's been missing since Monday evening. He was last spotted at the marina on Grayson Lake. Helicopters and dogs were called in for the search this week, and more crews were called out on Tuesday afternoon. Lee has dementia and is nonverbal. Crews are concerned about the effects of dehydration and weather conditions. Lee was last seen wearing a blue cotton shorts and a tan t-shirt and a camouflage hat. If you think you see Lee, authorities say to call 911.
An Ashland man pled guilty to attempted murder and other violent crimes this week. WMKY's Haley Stidham has the story.
37-year-old David Thompson was charged with attempted murder and a host of related charges after a dispute with his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend in October of 2017. Thompson entered a plea agreement on the charges just a week before his scheduled trial. According to the Daily Independent, Boyd Circuit Judge George Davis sentenced Thompson to 10 years for attempted murder, first-degree burglary, theft, wanton endangerment, and assault. Upon release, Thompson must also pay $2,000 restitution to the victim. For WMKY News, I'm Haley Sidham.
Four dogs and a cat have been taken to the Clark County Animal Shelter due to alleged neglect. A neighbor reported the animals were located in a house that had not been lived in for a couple of months. Shelter director Adrena Willis spoke with WKYT, saying it's one of the worst cases of neglect she's ever seen.
It just breaks your heart because there are so many resources. We have an open intake shelter here. There's no reason an animal should be left in a situation like that. Dehydrated, emaciated, covered in fleas. But at least at this point, they have a chance because they didn't in the situation they were in.
No charges have been filed at this time in that case. The Clark County attorney is currently investigating.
More than 450 pigs in Pendleton County could be euthanized as a woman's makeshift rescue operation faces failure. Lori Tristan runs the rescue out of her farm in Falmouth. She tells the Lexington Herald-Leader she started out with a little more than 100 pigs, but rampant breeding pushed the operation beyond her ability to manage. Kentucky's Pig Advocate League is leading the effort to find homes for the animals. They say the animals face a September 14th deadline for placement before they are euthanized. The organization is calling the mission to vaccinate the pigs and find the homes Operation 458. For more information about the animals or to volunteer as a rescue home, search for Pig Advocate League on Facebook.
A Boyd County woman is facing charges of importing heroin from Ohio. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has more.
According to the Daily Independent, 34-year-old Tiffany Dawn Marshall of Catlettsburg was arrested on charges of importing heroin and trafficking in a controlled substance. Marshall was arrested during a routine traffic stop on U.S. 23 near Cannonsburg Road in Catlettsburg. Deputies searched Marshall's car after gaining verbal consent, where they found two baggies of heroin in Marshall's purse. According to the arrest citation, the heroin was bought in South Point, Ohio, before being imported into Catlettsburg. Marshall is lodged in the Boyd County Detention Center and is being held on a $50,000 bond. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
Democratic Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes had another ethics complaint filed against her by the Kentucky Republican Party yesterday. According to the complaints filed, Grimes is improperly accessing the state's voter registration database and consolidating election powers, in turn making the state more susceptible to security issues. Trey Watson is the chairman of the Kentucky Republican Party.
Every step that you take away and every piece of that decentralization that you remove and start to consolidate power with one person or one entity puts our elections at risk because that's one more piece of the puzzle they have to be able to rig an election.
The complaint comes after Grimes' father, Jerry Lundergan, was indicted last week on federal campaign reporting and spending violations.
A Western Kentucky high school has been honored for its bravery during a school shooting. KNN's Haley Hansen has more.
The students at Marshall County High School are the recipients of the 9/11 Hero Award, which is presented to those who've shown bravery during an emergency. During the award ceremony, Jody Duncan with Louisville Metro Emergency Services said,
"They were giving room numbers. They were giving closet numbers, which wing they were in, where they were, and which wing they were on."
Marshall County's 911 dispatch team also received an award for their bravery during the January school shooting. I'm Haley Hansen.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the week. Tonight, a 20% chance of isolated showers before 8 p.m. We'll see cloudy with a low around 70. Tomorrow morning, a 30% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms mainly after 4 p.m. Partly sunny with a high near 87. Tomorrow night, a 30% chance of scattered showers throughout the night. Mostly cloudy with a low around 69. And Friday morning, a 50% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 11 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 83 degrees. Current temperatures in your listening area are 86 degrees in Flemingsburg, 88 degrees in Lexington, 93 degrees in Ashland, 86 degrees in Winchester, 90 degrees in Inez, 87 degrees in Mount Sterling, and 89 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, a health advocacy group aimed at fighting tuberculosis is offering internship opportunities to college students. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has the story.
It's the most deadly infectious disease in the entire world, more deadly than HIV and AIDS.
That's Dr. Ann Colbert. She says humans have been fighting tuberculosis, known simply as TB, for thousands of years. With a vaccination discovered in the early 20th century, many thought the disease was finally meeting its end, and for much of the developed world, it has. However, that leaves poorer third world countries left susceptible to the deadly disease. That's where the Fund for Global Health comes in.
The Fund for Global Health is a U.S. nonprofit that is working to increase our global funding for tuberculosis.
She reaffirms that TB is a global issue.
The countries that are most hard hit are in Southeast Asia, Sub-Saharan Africa. Russia is now getting to be more affected by TB in the prison population. So some countries you wouldn't expect, but a lot of the poor countries, because it is a disease that's more prevalent in low-income countries.
Colbert says it's understandable for those in the U.S. to not be aware of the pervasiveness of the disease due to the low amount of diagnoses here at home.
In the U.S., there's only about 2 cases per 100,000. But in places like Zambia or Chad, some of the very poor countries, it's 400 cases per 100,000. So it's quite a bit of a difference.
And with this lack of advocacy comes the organization's search for volunteers and interns. They hope to utilize the interest and passion of those involved to show Congress members that supporting global funding to fight TB is of utter importance.
And my niece, who's an intern with the Global Fund, she said, you know, we're all constituents and we need to take an active role in our government. And this is an easy way. Unless the Congress people know about it, they really don't know how to move on an issue.
Colbert explains why Kentucky is one of the more important states for the organization in terms of intern recruitment.
Our congressman, Hal Rogers, is the chairman of the SFOPS committee, so he's very powerful, and they would really like to get a lot more interns or volunteers who write letters from Kentucky, because our congresspeople are pretty important. And Senator McConnell sits on the Senate SFOPS committee.
Those interested in the intern opportunity with the Fund for Global Health can get involved by visiting their website at fundforglobalhealth.org and clicking on the Get Involved tab at the top right of the page. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
It's 448 and 89 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
The Reds are 0-2. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Cincinnati Reds are wrapping up their series in Pittsburgh this evening. The Reds dropped the first 2 games following last night, 7-3. Coach Jim Riggleman says his pitchers have been struggling all year to get batters out.
You know, it's just tough to pitch. You know, hitters have made such progress, it's really tough to pitch to get through lineups, and we haven't found the secret to get through lineups 3 times in 6-7 innings. It's been few and far between.
The Reds will send right-hander Homer Bailey to the mound in the series finale tonight. Bailey has a 6.13 ERA and has just 1 win in 19 starts on the year. The Pirates counter with right-hander Jameson Taillon, who has given up 3 earned runs or fewer in 17 straight starts. First pitch from PNC Park is at 7:05. Other games tonight include Washington hosting the Royals, the Mets are in L.A., the Angels are traveling to the Rangers, and among others, Oakland is playing host to the Yankees. From elsewhere in the majors, the Baseball Players Association made the second high-profile addition to its staff in less than a month, hiring Gary Sheffield and business lawyer Xavier James as Deputy Chief Operating Officer. James will report to Kevin McGinnis, the union's Chief Operating Officer, since January 2014. James has worked as a special advisor to the union and has received $215,000 in it from 2017, according to the union's financial disclosure agreement. The Baltimore Orioles will wear big league jerseys with their name spelled in Braille for its National Federation of the Blind night. The Baltimore Sun reports the jerseys will be autographed and auctioned online after the September 18th game against the Toronto Blue Jays. The proceeds will benefit the federation, which is celebrating its 40th year in Baltimore. With around 50,000 members, it is the country's largest organization run by the blind. With the regular season starting tomorrow, NFL fans have something else to cheer about. The good news for football fans is it's going to be much easier to watch NFL games online this year. The league is finally dropping a requirement that viewers sign a cable or satellite subscription in hopes that expanding its online audience at a time when TV ratings are declining. Though there are restrictions, as in no free streaming on smart TVs, for instance, the move marks a significant departure for sports. Other major professional leagues still require TV subscriptions for hometown teams. The Cincinnati Bengals head to Indianapolis to take on the Colts on Sunday. Head coach Marvin Lewis says it's a busy time for his team heading into week one.
I'm excited about where we are, excited about our team. Excited about them to their preparation this week and us to go play a football game on Sunday and win the game. So I think that's what's exciting about it. And they've worked hard, and now we're at the point where everything you do, it all counts for real.
The Bengals are coming off a disappointing 7-9 season last year and will be looking to be more competitive in the AFC North, a division the Pittsburgh Steelers are favored to win again this year. Kickoff from Lucas Oil Stadium is at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Chiefs safety Eric Berry is day-to-day with a heel injury that has kept him out of most of training camp, and his status for Sunday's opener against the Chargers remains in question. The exact nature of the injury has never been disclosed, but Chiefs trainer Rick Burkholder said today the five-time Pro Bowl selection is getting better every day. And Seahawks safety Earl Thomas appears to set an end to his lengthy holdout in time for the start of the regular season, even without a new contract. Thomas posted to Instagram this morning saying he's never let his teammates, city, or fans down as long as he has lived, and he doesn't plan to start this weekend. Will this be the year that Kentucky football finally scores a win over Florida? Coach Mark Stoops isn't making any bold predictions, but he is happy with his team's performance coming off a 35-20 win in the season opener against Central Michigan. The Wildcats head to the Swamp this weekend, and Stoops says the team will have its hands full as it looks to snap a 31-game losing streak against the Gators.
They got some difference makers on defense. At all levels of their defense, they have some disruptors up front. Their linebacker is a really good player. And in their secondary, I think they gave up 3 yards. I don't know if I've ever seen that. That's pretty good. So they've got some very good players. And offensively, doing some good things, you know, just like you would expect from a Florida team.
The last time the Wildcats got a W against the Gators was in 1986 at Commonwealth Stadium when they won 10-3. Kickoff in Gainesville is set for 7:30 Saturday night. The game can be seen on the SEC Network. And lastly in sports, as we move into week two of college football, Nick Fitzgerald is expected to start at quarterback for number 18 Mississippi State on Saturday after serving a one-game suspension for a violation of team policy that happened last spring. Fitzgerald said it was rough running the scout team as part of his punishment. The Bulldogs were fine without Fitzgerald last weekend, though, against Stephen F. Austin, winning 63-6. Number 11 LSU and number 12 Virginia Tech made the biggest jumps in the first Associated Press college football poll of the regular season after the opening weekend, when most of the top teams were unchallenged. Alabama remained number 1 with a blowout of Louisville, and number 2 Clemson and number 3 Georgia held their spots. Number 4 Ohio State slipped ahead of number 5 Wisconsin. And Auburn's running game is unsurprisingly a work in progress. With a new tailback and an overhauled offensive line, the 7th-ranked Tigers still managed an opening 21-16 win over number 9 Washington, despite struggles running the ball. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football hosts Mount St. Joseph on Saturday. Kickoff is 6 p.m. Soccer's next home match is on Friday, September 14th, against Eastern Illinois, and volleyball hosts Jacksonville State on Friday, September 21st. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. A sharp sell-off in tech pushed the NASDAQ Composite and S&P 500 lower today as investors braced for another round of trade negotiations between the U.S. and Canada. The Dow Industrials did manage a small gain of 22.51, finishing at 25,974.99. The S&P 500 was down 8.12 at 2888.60, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 96.07 at 7995.17. Tech shares fell today as Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey and Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg testified in front of Congress addressing online election meddling and how to stop abuse on social platforms. And most tech shares were under pressure today as Netflix shares dropped 6.2%, Amazon and Microsoft both fell more than 2%, and shares of Facebook and Twitter dropped 2.3% and 6.1% respectively. U.S. and Canadian officials met today to try and settle differences and secure a future deal on trade, and the meeting takes place after the U.S. and Canada failed to secure a new agreement last Friday to replace the current NAFTA agreement. And Chrystia Freeland, Canada's foreign minister, said that officials worked hard over the weekend on NAFTA trade talks. Freeland added she looks forward to constructive conversations on trade between the two countries, although there was nothing substantive announced in terms of today's talks. And emerging market stocks fell again and fell broadly as investors fretted over the dire state of the Argentine and Turkish economies. The iShares MSCI Emerging Markets Exchange Traded Fund dropped more than 1%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.7% at $68.67 a barrel. Gold was up 0.25% at $1,201.80 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were under pressure with the Stock 600 index down 1.1%. And in Asia, stocks were down very sharply with the Nikkei down 0.5% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong dropping 2.625%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and Johnson & Johnson, while the worst performers were Visa and Microsoft. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Goodyear Tire and CenterPoint Energy, while your worst performers were Biomed and Netflix. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 52 cents at $84.35, CSX down 54 cents at $74.30, AEP up 98 cents at $73.24, AK Steel down 3 cents at $4.34, Marathon Petroleum down 34 cents at $83.94, and U.S. Bancorp is up 10 cents to finish at $54.34. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Joe Lewis, Tanner Boyd, Kinsey Thompson, Hallie Stidham, Chanisty Davis, Naya Nweza, Shaw Marie Mosley, Brian Courtney, Jack Cottle, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, and Tilden Johnson. KNN's Haley Hansen, WUKY's Karen Czar, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Logan Pemberton. This is Morehead State Public Radio. WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.